we're going to celebrate anything in life, it has to be at the top of the list, should it not be the resurrection? And if there's a day out of the year that has to be more than a tradition, more than ritual, that has to be life-giving, celebratory, if there's anything in our lives that ought to change the trajectory in how we live, the quality with which we live, the gratitude in which we live, it has to be the resurrection. The resurrection defines Christianity. Without the resurrection, there is no faith. Without the resurrection in the Bible, as I've said before, we're false prophets. We're misled. We're a cult. We're empty. We're hypocrites. We have nothing without the resurrection. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, yes, well-pleased rather, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what you have. Those of you, those of us who are rooted and established in a relationship with Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, instantaneously, at the nanosecond of death, you're present with the Lord. There's no gap between those two things. It is a seamless entry into the fullness of an awareness of and new resurrection life provided only by Jesus Christ. We can create things in our life. We can look for remedies in our life. We can medicate. We can do whatever we want to do to delay the inevitable, but we're all deteriorating and we're all slowly dying. We are mortal. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal body of mine and yours has put on immortality, then we shall be brought to pass the same. Death is swallowed up in victory. That's what happened. Many of you have been to that garden with Angie and I. You've looked at that tomb. You've looked at that well. You've looked at that place. You've worshiped there. You took communion there. And isn't that what it's all about right there, the resurrection? Now, the resurrection is not just a Christian thing. The resurrection is also a Jewish thing. We see resurrection of all places in the Old Testament. Yes, if Jesus Christ is the resurrection, and he always has been and always will be, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's timeless and eternal, and he's a part of the Godhead, then we ought to see that resurrection wherever he is, and he's in the Old Testament, sure enough. So in two places, 1 Kings 17, verses 17 to 24, we see Elijah thrown in a tomb, on Zarephath's widow's son. And then we see the Shunammite son with Elisha. These two prophets engage in an encounter with a two dead sons for the purpose of stretching themselves over their bodies. Elijah puts his eyes to the boy's eyes, his hands to the boy's hands, and his mouth to the boy's mouth, and they warm those bodies as they stretch themselves over those bodies in the Old Testament, in the book of Kings, and each of those two sons came back to life. They were raised from the dead. Now, we can study that all day long. We can make all we want to make out of it, but let's just keep it simple, shall we? A man, a woman, you, me, when we live our lives out on a day-to-day basis, we can ill afford to do so without the knowledge of the call of and the incredible display of resurrection power. To only recognize resurrection power on Easter Sunday is to deny 364 other days of a reality for which those days need, they beg, they thirst for. A man who gets up in the morning who realizes that the same power resident at the crucifixion of Christ and these two young boys is also available to us in how we live and what we do. If we fail to recognize or even put into practice or even remain unaware of the fact that the resurrection power of Christ, Christ himself who is the resurrection, is available to us, in us, and operating through us on a daily basis, but if we fail to remember that, if we forget that, or if we live like it's not, we live so far beneath what he's calling us to. There are literally people dying on this mountain sick, depressed, suicidal, aimless, empty, who need the Christian in the 21st century to be aware of the fact that in their hands, in their speech, in their heart, in their movement, in their actions, in their witness is a resurrection power. Why did I ask these guys to lead worship today? Because I met 18 guys, two apprentices and two leaders who see that happening on a daily basis. The deliverance and the freedom and the liberty and the newness, the resurrection, the freshness, the fresh bread that they're eating out of the Bible is so palpable when you worship with them over in their chapel. When you share the word with them, it's like sponges soaking up truth. Resurrection power. They will leave that program not only set free from the sin that so easily entangled them, they will walk with an awareness that beyond themselves is a resurrection power. And sometimes, my friend, as these two boys who came back to life experienced, we have to stretch ourselves. We are stewards of our own walks. We are managers of the very resources given to us by Christ on a daily basis to run a business, to love our spouse, to raise our children, to glorify God. We are stewards of that resurrection power, and if we fail to acknowledge it or fail to use it or fail to call upon it, if we fail to call things which are not as though they are, we are wasting, diminishing the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. And certainly not the crucifixion, but the resurrection from the dead. These prophets show us in their physicality that we must spiritually stretch ourselves beyond where we are each and every day. To expect more, to think deeper, to think higher, to think more and call more on the promises of God. As we journey into an experiential understanding of who the Spirit of God is and who Christ is, we cannot become lackadaisical and take the most important thing in our faith and move it to 10th place. It has to remain on our minds and hearts. That takes a stretch. And that's what those prophets did over those two dead bodies. They stretched themselves. When he places his eyes on the dead boy's eyes and his mouth on a dead boy's mouth, what is this? This is bizarre. What's the point? That's what we ought to be asking. Oh, God. Oh, God, the stretch for me just may be. Give me eyes to see someone else as you see them. Give me a mouth to speak things you would speak. And give me a mouth that does not speak the things that I speak in my own flesh. That's a stretch. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the trajectory of our life, ought to remain on point, on par with this understanding that the word of God is more than something etched upon a scroll or papyrus. It is something that needs to be written on the tablet of our heart and shared with people on a daily basis. Their bodies grew warm before they raised from the dead. What warms your heart? What warms your heart? For if we fail to answer that question, we fail to interact with the spiritually dead and warm their hearts as well. Stretch yourself as I stretch myself. I want to eke out every drop of the precious blood of Christ in the 20, 30, 40 years I have left. I want every drop to be used for his glory. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection at work in our life, ought to call us to stretch and see, and speak, and touch others in ways beyond where we are today. This is where it gets fun. In 2 Kings chapter 13, we see a resurrection from the dead. 2 Kings 13 to 21, once while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders. So they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb. And when the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood up on his feet. Now, I'm sure that happened two or three times last week just in your life, right? What's the point? Do we just look at that? Do we just like, okay? Do we just like distance ourselves from that so far that it's like, okay, that was then and this is now and that was them and this is me and this is the, that was the, before the first century, this is the 20th, what do I do with it? What do I do with that? I'll give you some ideas. I got some ideas. What do you do with that? Raiders are coming over the horizon, brandishing weapons, and they're on horses, and they're coming fast. They're coming with fury. They're coming with angry. They're coming to steal what you have. You're trying, just all you're trying to do is bury a dead guy. You got to hightail it out of there, so you throw his corpse in the cave where Elisha was, and it touches his bones, and boom, up from the dead he comes. Let me give you a verse. Hebrews 4 and 12, I quote it often. The word of God is living, active, and sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing joint and marrow. It judges attitude of the heart. What should a pastor be calling people to in this culture? And what should a worshiper, a minister like yourself, be calling and wanting for yourself in this culture? What's the point? New life comes when people interact with you, when the word of God is deep down in your marrow, deep down in your bones. Don't get confused that you have to have a quantity of truth embedded in your heart and deep in your bones. Just get the idea that you have to have a quality of whatever it is you have. I talk often about an anchor verse or a life verse or a career verse or a verse for your marriage or verse for whatever. Know a verse, live a verse, meditate on a verse, stand on a verse, anchor yourself to a verse, and keep it from drifting. Hey, listen, let's put it into modern day context. Raiders are coming over the horizon for people in the sound of my voice this morning. What raiders? What pirates? Stage 4 cancer cells are coming over the horizon. They're seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. Lou Gehrig's disease is coming over the horizon, is methodically making its way deeper and deeper into our psyche and into our bodies for some. Depression is ruthlessly coming to raid the joy that we have. The culture is seeking to raid us and rob us of our freedoms and what it is we want, all the fullness of Christ. The question is resurrection power just in your head? Just on your nightstand? Just next to your lazy boy? Or is it down in the deep part of your bone? Whether those who touch it, those who interact with you, know when you speak with an authority because you know you've tested that word. You've tried that word. You've rebelled against that word and lost. You found that word to bring you victory and release and liberty, solitude and peace and joy. Yeah, deep down in your bone, find some kind of thing that touches it and all of a sudden, resurrection power. I think on some level there's some sort of, who knows what they're going to call it in history, some sort of post-pandemic outpouring of the Spirit where people come back together with a fury, where that which seeks to raid the church and rob the church and pirates out there, spiritual pirates coming after your joy and your grandchildren and your children. Something ought to be down in our bones and we ought to be stretching ourselves beyond where we are. There's 3 more resurrections in the New Testament. The widow of Nain's son, Luke 7, 11 to 17. Jairus' daughter, Capernaum. Tabitha, also called Dorcas, in Acts chapter 9, verse 36 to 41. What do these have in common? Jesus saw the widow coming outside the gate of Nain, saw the bier of her casket of her son, her dead son, and he put his hand on that casket. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. Young man, I say to you, get up. Capernaum, when he made his way back to the back of that hallway of that little house where that little girl lived, he said, Talitha kum, I say to you, little girl, get up. She's not asleep. I say to you, little girl, get up. Peter drops to his knees and shuts the door on Tabitha, who had done so much for the poor. And he just looked at her and prayed on his knees. He said, Tabitha, get up. We must stretch ourselves to be stewards of the resurrection power of Christ. We must get the word deep down in our bones. And we must be able to speak to things that are not as though they are. We don't give handouts. We give hands up. This is Community Bible Church. We speak to people and we get them up in their thinking, up in their faith. We get people up with encouragement. We speak to people and say, get up. Get up. You can, you will. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Get up. Speak to that death that seems to raid people's lives and make them slothful and lazy and just going through the moat. Get up. We have nothing to complain about. If our business has gotten, like I say, get up. Move. Start moving. Get up. Give God something to work with. That's resurrection power. Get up. Young man, I say to you, get up. Get up above your peers in that high school. Young woman, get up over the standards that are so low among your peers. Get up. Get your thinking up. Get your prayer life up. Get up. We have to speak to things. Not a name it, claim it theology, but speaking truth in the middle of total confusion in this country. Get up. Get your standards up. Get your thinking up. We find sometimes we don't say get up to ourselves with the resurrection power of Christ available to us. It gets difficult to distinguish the Christian from the non-Christian. Get up. Get up off yourself. That's what resurrection power does. Get up. Stretch. Get the word in your bones. John chapter 11, Lazarus, 4 days dead in that tomb. It seems hopeless. His sisters have done given up. Jesus just calls them out of the darkness. Lazarus, come out. Some of your children, some of your friends, some of your business associates, some of your grandparents, whoever they are, they need to hear a couple things. Hey, let's get up. And someone else needs to say, hey, come on out. Come on out now. Come on out of that house. Come on out of that mentality. Come out of that attitude. Come on out of that cave. Hey, come on out of that sin. Come on out into the open. The things that are killing people, I mean just killing people right now, are secret sins. Lack of transparency. Man, you're just riddled with it. Come on out now. Come on. Come on out of that cave. Come on out into the daylight. Come on, shine a light on that situation. Find a brother you can trust. Find a pastor. Confess your sin. Get it out there. Come on out. Come on out. And take off those grave clothes. We've got people today acting like they're dead, and they're not even dead yet, dressing like they're dead. Like, last time I checked, and thank God this church isn't like that. Some people just wear a spirit of heaviness is supposed to have a garment of praise. When do you praise? When things aren't going well. When do you praise? When things really stink. When do you praise? When nothing seems to be going the way you're praying. Put on a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Too many people putting on a garment of heaviness because everyone else is wearing one. Come on, stretch. Get the word down in your bones. Put on a garment of praise. Every day should start with praise. Start with worship. Sets the tone. Resurrection power is resident in those who are praising God. Amen. Eutychus, poor fella. listening to a sermon, and you ought to be grateful for this, listening to a sermon sitting in the window, and that sermon was 3 hours long. You know I haven't preached that long in this church. Guy falls out of the window, and he's dead on the ground. What does Paul do? Does he stretch himself over the man? No. Does he speak to him? No. Does he touch his bones? No. Does he say, get up? No. He hugs him. He just hugs him. Who needs a hug? Some people haven't had a hug in 9 to 12 months. Man, we're backlogged, or like overdrawn in the hug account. Who needs a hug? Come on. Resurrection power is not just speaking and not just the word and not just stretching and not just interceding, not just praying. It's a hug, man. People need a hug. Bear hug. Man came to life. Of all the people to give a hug, it's Paul. He don't seem like much of a hugger. Gosh, there's a verse, and it ain't a reality in my life yet, and it's not quite down in my bone, but I can tell you, I certainly want it to be. Paul says to the church in Philippi, he says, I long for all of you. His absence, it just caused this longing. I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Oh, man. Jesus can be tough. He can look militaristic. He can look warriorish. He can ride big old horses. He can come against big old enemies. He's the commander of the Lord's army. But there's a quality in him that when he puts it into action, just like resurrection power just kind of oozes out of him. It's just a hug. Affection. We can't be those people who, I don't know how to evangelize, but you know how to hug. You know how to kiss someone's cheek. You know how to hold someone's hand. You know how to look them in the eye over a cup of coffee. You know how to be affectionate. That's a conduit of the resurrection power of Christ. We have that gift in this church. We have that gift of affection. Jesus saw people resurrected at his crucifixion. At the moment the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, the earth shook. Oh my gosh. The earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs broke open, the bodies of many holy people. It's Friday afternoon. We're not talking about Sunday morning. This is Friday afternoon, rush hour traffic. The earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs broke open, the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Oh, my word. Can you imagine that happening in the day of social media and iPhones? Many holy people come out of the graves. Why? Shaken. Shaken. The prudent believer nowadays, especially the more people talk about the last days, have got to expect this, a shaking. There's a whole lot of shaking going on right now. A whole lot of shaking. And that shaking, those circumstances, those things that happen in our life that shake us, pressed down, shaking, and pouring over, shake us. They shake us because they're waking us up. God brings resurrection power through shaking, and he shook the whole earth, and up popped these bodies. Now, listen, that sounds like a pretty far-fetched thing. Maybe you're not there yet, but let me tell you something. You ask God about it, he'll shake something up in your life. He'll shake the foundation of what you think you believe. He'll test you where you are with a little shaking going on, and it'll cause you. It causes me. He'll throw you a curveball when you're expecting a fastball. He'll shake you up just a little bit. Usually health or relationships or money, something. But that shaking wakes people up. Sometimes I find, as I look back over my own life, sometimes I'm hotter than a firecracker. Other times I'm cold steel. One of the ways that God gets my attention, he said, come on, son, let me shake you. That's how you wake people up. Let me shake you a little bit. You got some shaking going on in your life. Ask the question, what's he trying to wake me up to? Because he's trying to wake us up. Get up. Stretch. Get the word in your bones. Come on out of the cave. Like the Christian life isn't just a devotion in the morning and then do it again next morning. It's that plus. Analyze, what's he saying? What's he commanding? How is he asking? What part, what dead spot in your life is he calling you to wake up to? Do something about. Acknowledge, confess, bring out in the open. What is it? Because there's resurrection power waiting to invade, like those pirates who want to destroy you, waiting to invade that area of your life. And mine. Now, how do you get Jesus up out of the grave? After the Sabbath, the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. An earthquake is a relief of pressure that exists. What area of your life is there an undue amount of pressure? I'll tell you what's going on in the people that you want to see come to Christ. And it's exhausting. But what they're doing and what I did, what you did, is they are carrying the weight and the density of their own sin and have no relief. They're having to carry the guilt, the condemnation of their own sin, and they have no relief. Jesus said in Matthew 11:30, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And when people that you're trying to minister to are carrying the weight of their own sin, and they won't forgive, they don't have a sense of forgiveness, they won't forgive others either. And they need that Christ, that resurrection power. And don't be surprised if you're part of that shaking that's going on in their life. Speak to them. Tell them to get up. Stretch yourself. Do something that elicits resurrection power. You'll see that change in their life by faith. You say, well, if the earthquake on Friday was enough to get the dead people out of the ground, then the earthquake on Sunday must have been an aftershock. Not necessarily. Sometimes in an earthquake, the aftershock supersedes the initial shaking. And it's no longer called an aftershock, it's called a foreshock. The foreshock was on Friday. The real earthquake was on Sunday. And the foundation of everything that civilization would know, write about, paint, sculpt, share, teach, philosophize about, came out of the shaking of that ground outside the city of Jerusalem when he came up out of that grave. Resurrection power of Jesus Christ. As we get ready to come to Holy Communion, the guys would come up. I guess there's a couple things I want to ask you. Are you in need of, and there's nothing wrong with having this need at all. I find it actually appropriate. Are you in need of a touch of fresh life in a particular area of your life that may seem dead? Maybe even motionless. What resonated with you today? Is God asking you to get up and act and do what he told you to do? Is he asking you to stretch yourself beyond where you are so you can grow? Is he speaking to you about coming out in the open? Bring that deadness out into the light? Is he asking you to take that word and get it deeper down into your bones? You may be in the sound of my voice today, and spiritually speaking, you're dead. you're just dead. And like those Romans, the thought of death might cause you to want to shake. I won't know how to advise you because I won't be there with you that day. You'll be alone, and I won't experience this at all. And nor will those in Christ. But if you find yourself on Judgment Day without him, the resurrection, you will be shaking. It will be a shaking like no other shaking. And you won't be able to stop it. The shaking you need comes from God, not a fear of him, but a shaking on this side of death that causes you to say, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he's my Savior. I believe he died for me. I believe he paid the penalty of my sin. I believe I'm forgiven as I confess my sin before him. And by faith, I have eternal life. You want the shaking to happen this side of judgment. You don't want the shaking that happens on the day of judgment. It's irreversible. I want you to think about these things as we come to the Lord's table and you get your elements ready. About being a conduit of the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. Amen. So on Friday night, on Good Friday service, I got to thinking about this verse, 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says, the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are not perishing, the cross is the power of God. It seems like a strange symbol for the power of God. You see a man totally submissive, being tortured and beat up and stretched and where's the power? Seems like the power is coming against him, not him exacting the power. How is that power? How is a lamb before the shears that's silent? How is that power? But you put it in this context, it makes sense. A holy God without any imperfections, who's committed no sin, has to have power to hold himself to the cross, to willingly subject himself to the defilement of your sin and mine and the sin of all mankind takes power. Wow. A power a billion times more than was exacted against and upon him. That's love. That's the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. To hold oneself, to place oneself, to not defend oneself, though certainly defendable, though wrongly accused, though betrayed by those among him. I mean, just to withstand all of that and keep himself there. And he even gave him an opportunity. He says, you want to come off the cross? You could. If you are who you say you are, come on off that cross. Show us some power. He was showing them more power than they'd ever seen in their life. He showed them that day more power than they even knew possible. Their power was in a sword or in a uniform or in a label or in a culture or in a political regime. His power was steeped and marinated and oozing with love to hold himself to that cross. This Christ isn't some weak thing that took place. The power of God established and at work invisible. How do you respond to that? I don't even know how to. I don't even have a category for that. My only response is, gee whiz, thanks. Like, look at me. Who am I? What have I done? What is man that you're mindful of him? Hey, we're about to take this wafer, but before we do, seriously, if you're here today and you're outside of a relationship with Christ, you're outside the power. You're outside redemption. You're outside forgiveness, friend. I love you. I don't want that. I don't want that. You don't want that. Nobody wants that. You're shaking on Judgment Day. If you're here today and you need Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and personal I mean that personal, intimate, Lord and Savior. Maybe he's shaken you a little bit today and days previous. Maybe he's stretched himself and warmed your heart a little bit. Maybe he's put some of the word deep down in you today. Maybe he's speaking to you, hey, let's get up. Let's come out. Let's call you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Let's find a way that you can shine and be who I've called you to be, who I've irrevocably called you to be, who I have equipped you to be. If you're here today and you never received Jesus Christ as your Lord, I can think of no better day than Resurrection Sunday. If that's you today, just come on out. Come out of your car. Come on, come out of your whatever you're coming out of. Let it be known. Let's pray for you. Let's celebrate. I certainly don't. Is there anyone here? You need Christ. I mean, anywhere. Doesn't matter anywhere you go today. Anywhere. Anyone need Christ. It's resurrection power. Come forward and see me after the service. Let's make sure you understand what this gospel is. It's one thing for your body to be broken. It's another thing to keep it there as it is in the process. That's the power of God. Let's partake of the power of God on the cross, the body of Jesus Christ. Those Pharisees and Sadducees and the Israelites of the day, I mean, they knew about the blood of goats and heifers and sheep and lambs. They knew about sacrificing pigeons and such. And they also knew about looking for the Messiah. One day he'll come and he'll make us sense of all this. I don't think they ever pictured him bleeding. They never thought that cross would be like the brazen altar. They had always brought the sacrifice to the temple. Now God had come to them to atone for your sin and to sprinkle the blood of Jesus Christ on your heart. I only have one thing to say to you. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So partake of the blood of Christ, your sins are forgiven. So we're going to approach this week ahead with so much to be grateful for and so much to celebrate. We have so much fun to have, but we also have to steward the resurrection power of Christ. We have to steward it into prayer, into the life and relationships with others. There's two things that can be. That can be a decoration. We can even decorate our necks with crucifixes. Decoration, nothing wrong with decorations, I don't guess. But it's another thing altogether, my friend, when it's a declaration. I honestly don't know how much more time, how many more decades we have before the Lord returns, and equally unsure about how much freedom we're going to have in the years ahead. Your grandchildren are going to have to worship freely. I don't have all of that figured out. But I do know this. I need to declare it while I can, publicly. So I want us, as we close this service today, as a creed, as a declaration, not a decoration, I want us all to stand. I want to declare our faith as we sing along with the Teen Challenge cast. Let's do that.
We believe. In this time of desperation, and all we know is doubt and fear, there is only thank you. us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And he's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith.
Conduit of the resurrection power of Christ, and you have a great week ahead of you, and you have an affection anointing on you. You didn't know that, did you? Someone needs you to be affectionate with them today, with a hug or embrace, a kind word, encouraging word. I love you. Happy Resurrection Day. Enjoy your afternoon. Enjoy this blessed weather, and go help somebody come nearer to Christ this week. Amen? You're dismissed. Thank you, guys. Amen. Thank you. Amen.